It's really good to be here. No, I mean, we need this. We are privileged. We get to come together and know that there's people who are for us. And sometimes we don't really internalize that until we realize how much we need each other. We've got a friend that I shared a room with in college for a while. He's now a pastor in the Conway area of South Carolina. Y'all know what's happened in that part of Carolina. His people have had big T trouble, but Campbell's also had big T trouble. Some of you, if you were here last Sunday, you heard me offer a prayer request. His son, Pearson, was in a car accident and is now in the Duke Medical Center and is like, their lives are rocked. Because he was hurt badly. He's got traumatic brain injury. He's not fully back yet. It is, from day to day, just craziness. So you got all the stuff that's going on back at home. They've got a younger son as well, who's been back at home with friends. And I read what they post every day on Facebook. And it's got all over me. I can't do a thing about it but pray, but I'm not going to minimize that one bit. And I sent him a little note. And the thing I think that's got all over me is that I have a son that's not too much older than his son. I remember the conversations that we had when we were in college. We didn't always agree. Campbell was one of those that he would love to just have a conversation to see how far he could stretch you. And I needed that. He's a believer, but he was one of the artsy guys. He was always in the stage productions at school, and Campbell just was a different guy. I always thought he looked like Mick Jagger when he was younger. He doesn't now, but he did then. But I read the stuff that he and his wife are posting on Facebook, telling people what's going on day to day, and my heart has just got me. I hear stories. There are many other people who are going through stuff like this. Talk for a few minutes to Becky about her middle son. How many of you have been held at gunpoint recently in your own home? Or rear-ended on 95 and spun into the side of the highway? Talking about in what time, how long of a time span? Like within a few weeks? Okay? I haven't had that happen lately about you. There are people who are going through big T trouble because their world's rocked. Everything they understand about the world, about what they understand about God, it is all on the table for them. And I go through day to day acting like I have got some kind of numbing something going on. Do you understand what I'm saying? I act like that stuff doesn't exist because it doesn't exist for me right now. But there are people that we know that it is real. And so whenever we look at what's going on in the book of Job, there are people who are right now in the middle of this, and they need to hear from us that we understand. Not that we have answers. We do, but we have to wait for them to come to us for the right answers. But this is intersecting life. This is real stuff. So when we talk about all these objections, and we talk about Job wrestling through with all of what he was experiencing and what he knew to be true about God and what he this is real stuff. And that's the problem with the guys who had come to talk to him, is they wanted to act like they were in the soundproof booth and the real stuff didn't touch them. So they could have all these ideas that fit a particular system and not have to deal with the reality. So we're going to look at chapter 14 today. This is Job's third chapter we've got of Job responding to his commiserators. And we're going to see what he's going to say. He says, "Mortals born of a woman are of a few days and full of trouble." Has that been his experience? "They spring up like flowers and wither away. Like fleeting shadows, they do not endure. Do you fix your eye on them? Will you bring them before you for judgment? Now who's he talking to? Is he really talking to these guys? He has turned his attention. He is talking to God. Will you bring them before you for judgment? Who can bring what is pure from the impure? No one. A person's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. So look away from him and let him alone till he has put in his time like a hired laborer. How much of this is true? What does Job have right? And I mean, truthfully, there are examples where God will give somebody a stay. Okay, you know. Now, we don't get, all we can do is say, wow, gee, they lived for another, 6 months, or they lived for another 3 years, and everybody said they were supposed to be dead. So, yeah, that does happen. Doesn't the New Testament sort of echo this concept a lot? I know we know that not only do we hear language like this, we see it in the Psalms a lot. Then we see it echoed in the New Testament when we talk about how life is so very short. I mean, Paul calls it a vapor, there and gone. So he's got it right that life is frail because we're human and we're created and we're one stupid driver away from Pearson. You know, how is our viewpoint different? Because what we've experienced, how is it somewhat different from what Job is anguishing in at this point? He's even struggling with seeing the purpose in what he's going through. And again, when we're honest, sometimes we're there, and there's a lot of people that we know that are there. We don't see the full implication of the purpose of our suffering when we are going through it, our trouble, our difficulty. We don't understand the way we go through it and how God uses that lives far beyond us. We just know that right now it sure does stink because it is not fun. And we often, like Job, it's hard to hold on to the hope. Especially in the difference between we know what we know and what he didn't know. That raises the question, are we handling it better than he did based on what we know? No. But that's the challenge for us. To whom much has been given, much is... Okay? So I know as we're looking at what Job said in the record of all this interaction and what took place, we can sit there and say, oh, well, we may be better, but the question is, are we putting into action in our lives the things that we know? And does that mean that then when we wrestle through these types of things, or when we're with someone who's wrestling through these types of things, are we living like it makes a difference? Or are we just beaten, defeated, disoriented, and losing our faith and our focus? Yes. Yes, it is. And I think that's a lot of what we learn here. But is that where we're supposed to stay? And that's why we need this. That's why we need each other. What's going through your head? What do you feel like you're hearing? Sometimes it is, please don't hear me being, I'm not trying to sound self-righteous here, okay? But I get really angry at unmitigated sinfulness. Sinfulness. Just evil. Just out there evil. That's supposed to make me angry. Now, the only way that I get angry with God about that is like, God, you're like, isn't it time to just, smush them like a bug? So I do get angry about that. I think when God either doesn't, again, when we talk about understanding, when God doesn't let me in on His plan and tell me what I want to know, I can get angry. You know what I mean? Or, and this is a lot more selfish, when God doesn't do what I want Him to do, then I can get angry. Because I can get angry about things, but I don't get angry with God about certain things, because I know that people are broken. I put in my quarter, God. Put in my quarter. I want my candy bar. Oh, yeah. You have three guys knock on your door and ask to sit with you for a week? Have you had three guys knock on your door and ask to sit with you for a week? Because it may not be about that, but you don't know. And that's the thing. It gets to I don't understand your purposes and your plans and your ways. And we get angry because we don't understand what God's doing. If we feel like if God would just explain it all to us, that we just wouldn't be angry anymore and we would understand, we'd go on. It would be, I'm going to go back to where I started several weeks ago. It would be great if we could just trust God and if we could live there. I think there's some people that do that a lot better than I do. And I think it's because they're a lot spiritually fatter and physically thinner than I am. Because they've learned how to trust God no matter what chaos they happen to be enduring. There are plenty of others. But if there was no other, that would be a big one. But I really do think that the challenge is that we encourage one another and love one another, and so that when each one of us wrestles with the things we don't understand and we're not going to have answers to, and sometimes encounter circumstances that are beyond our possible manipulation, that we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Job didn't have anybody like that for him. Even his wife said, curse God and die. Let's go to the next slide. At least, Job continued, there is hope for a tree. If it's cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground and its stump die in the soil, yet at the scent of water it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. Trees have got it good. But a man dies and is laid low. He breathes his last and is no more. As the water of the lake dries up or a riverbed becomes parched and dry, so he lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, people will not awake or be roused from their sleep. So what did Job need to know that we do know? We've already talked about it. Okay. Death is not the end. Fast forward. In the story, Job is this tree. He's chopped down. He's cut down to size. He looks like he's rotten. And yet, in the end, there is a renewal that comes in his life. And he does sprout again. Absolutely. So his inability to see future and have hope at this point, if he knew what we know, he might have had a better chance, because he already had a very firm relationship with God. The things that he didn't know would have hopefully given him a different perspective, because he would have known some things, even though he has to live some things. Does that make sense? He would have known them and then had a choice to live them. And that's kind of where we are. We know these things, now we get a chance to live them. Whereas Job didn't have the full picture, and he could only live as well as he could, and he lived pretty well. I mean, he was willing to really wrestle and let whatever relationship he had with God be the thing that got him through. But us, you know, we ought to be just a little bit less, we ought to be a little more understanding of the way it works. It doesn't mean all our feelings go away and we don't, Again, God's big enough to deal with us being angry at Him. You know that, right? He's okay with us being angry at Him. In fact, in a lot of places, that sometimes is the place where faith begins, is the fact that people who really didn't serve God, kind of believed in God, what happens is they get angry at Him, and then through a course of time and God working, they come to have a faith in Him because they were angry at Him. You can't be angry at somebody you don't believe exists. It's a funny thing. I'm not going to compare us to Job in that way, but yes, it does challenge us. So he says, if only you would hide me in the grave and conceal me till your anger has passed. Because he didn't know what was going on. He's human. You know, if all this, is it really that I've done something? God, you're mad at me? That's why. And you and I know that that is exactly where everybody goes. God, why are you angry at me? Why are you treating me this way? If only you would set me a time and then remember me. If someone dies, will they live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait for my renewal to come. I think that's prophetic. And he didn't know that. You will call and I will answer you. You will long for the creature happened that Job does not understand, as God has called His servants, messengers, together in the heavenly court. You will long for the creature your hands have made. Surely then you will count my steps, but not keep track of my sin. My offenses will be sealed up in a bag. You will cover over my sin. What do you think this shows us about the way that God has made us? And if that question gets in the way, whatever else is going through your mind is fine. Pascal said that each one of us have a God-shaped void inside of us that only God can fill. This would be a really good passage that would lean towards agreeing with that. Yeah, Paul. For God so loved the world. And we're thinking, oh, that's just kind of this general... He likes what He made. And it was good. That's true, but all this stuff, the progression that you're talking about, is all, if you look at Hebrews, is a, I'm going to even use the word poor, a poor example for what is real. That the real thing, all these other things are only images of the real thing. The Holy of Holies and the relationship that we have with God and the closeness and the intimacy of that. All these other things were just images of it. So how has Jesus filled this hope? This is the thing we know. All the days of my hard service, I will wait for my renewal to come. That will preach now. You will call and I will answer you. You will long for the creature your hands have made. Surely then you will count my steps, but not keep track of my sin. My offenses will be sealed up in a bag. You will cover over my sin. All of that is a foreshadowing of what God does through Jesus. And like we've said, it's consistent with the heart of man, what we long for and need. And Job knew God well enough to know that these were things that he desired and needed. It's consistent. It was nothing new. It's because God made us that way. Consistent with all the things we've said. We got the gospel in Job. We just didn't have a name. So what else would you want to say? We've got one more section here. John, if you go to that next slide. He says, but as a mountain erodes and crumbles, and as a rock is moved from its place, as water wears away stones and torrents wash away the soil, so you destroy a person's hope. Here's the feelings. Okay? He knows what he hopes and longs for. But he feels like all these troubles are doing all these things. You overpower them once for all, and they are gone. You change their countenance and send them away. If their children are honored, they do not know it. If their offspring are brought low, they do not see it. They feel but the pain of their own bodies and mourn only for themselves. So how do these statements differ from the ones he just mentioned? Okay? Seems like they're in opposition to one another, doesn't it? It can feel this way. But we know what we're made for. What we were made for. And we know something Job didn't, in that there's a completion to all this. The things that he hoped for and longed for were real. And they were part of the plan. We know that. We just have to trust it. We have to trust God. All right. Any closing thoughts? All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the hope. Thank you for what we do know. Father, that we live in a day and a time where not only can we have the knowledge of the saving work of Jesus, but that, Lord, we can understand that you came to live with us and in us and among us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to trust you, trust your purpose, trust that even though we don't understand and we don't see, that we can have hope, and that, Lord, we will be for one another better encouragers and better friends. And that, Lord, we will let the hope that we hold on to and the truth we know make us better ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Thank you for Job, Lord. Thank you for his honesty. Thank you that faithful folks put the story down and captured it and passed it along, that we can see exactly how human we are and how you care. Thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.